A connection between a possible government shutdown and your pay stub. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's a vote in the House of Representatives today on whether to approve funding for the federal government to stay open for a few more weeks. Democrats in the Senate are pushing to link this funding to protections for immigrants who came to the U.S. illegally as children. We also note a government shutdown could delay some practical bits of the big tax overhaul. I want to consult Diane Swonk, chief economist at the accounting and consulting firm Grant Thornton. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So you see a connection between a partial government shutdown and the ability to implement this vast new tax overhaul?
Yes. In fact, the IRS is already understaffed. And in fact, the Treasury Department has asked for more funding for the IRS because they need to let employers know what the new tax laws mean for withholding. And if there's not enough people there to actually set that, it's going to delay implementation of the new tax law in 2018 withholdings.
All right, because the IRS folks aren't going to be working if they partially shut this down. And companies right now are trying to figure out how your pay stub is going to be configured, and maybe they need a little bit of IRS advice.
Exactly, and there's going to be no one there to answer it, nor when you're turning in your taxes. Remember, the IRS has a lot of helplines, which were already stressed because they've gone through a lot of cuts over the years because people thought, let's get rid of the IRS. Nobody likes the IRS. Well, guess what? Now you don't have help.
So many government services beyond the IRS may not be available for a time here, but macro, the whole U.S. economy, you see much of an effect? I mean, there are a lot of government contractors that the feds owe money to.
Exactly, and those will be affected. But if it's a short-lived shutdown, it's really little more than a bump in the road. In fact, the quarters we've had government shutdowns have not been particularly weak. Sometimes they've even strengthened. And so the government shutdown itself doesn't stop economic activity. And even those workers who were furloughed do get pay once they come back. So it could temporarily hit a regional economy where people aren't showing up for work and going to local lunch place. But then you do get it back once they return.
Economist Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What would you do with $250 billion shipped to you from overseas? That is Apple's task as it shifts its finances under America's new tax regime. In a statement yesterday, Apple casts this as a kind of patriotic duty under the new tax law. That money will be taxed at about 15% instead of the previous 35%. Marketplace's Ryan Kailoth is here. Hey, Ryan.
David.
So a little back of the reporter's notebook math here shows that Apple might save about $47 billion maybe on its tax bill thanks to waiting out the change in the tax law. What has the company said the money is, where's it going?
Well, yeah, so that $47 billion, remember, is just the tax savings. But Apple says it'll spend more than $350 billion over the next 5 years on 20,000 new jobs, building a new call center campus, probably in San Jose, California. New data centers around the country. And there are reports, too, that Apple employees are all getting $2,500 in stock.
All right. And this is all specifically because of the new tax law, or was some of this already planned?
I mean, can't know for sure, but there are signs some of it was planned. Apple's been buying up huge chunks of real estate in San Jose long before the new tax law. It broke ground on a new Nevada facility this week. You may remember Tim Cook, the CEO, promised last year they'd build three new plants in the U.S. I asked Eric Gordon at UMichigan Business School if these investments are maybe a bit political. Here's what he said.
I think it's half and half. Some of it is political posturing or social posturing. Apple's been criticized a lot for selling tons of stuff here that's made in China.
And so playing up its patriotism and domestic investment should score some points with the administration.
Now, the U.S. had, I remember, a similar repatriation tax holidays, 2004, that was supposed to spur investment and hiring. But a lot of companies, I remember, used it for stock buybacks and payments of dividends. Do you suppose Apple might do that, too?
It could. Hard to know. Eric Gordon thinks it's different this time around. He feels that when you pair this with the drop in the corporate tax rate, companies will have more incentive to build in the U.S., since profits from a new plant will enjoy similar low tax rates here.
Marketplace's Ryan Kailoth. Thank you. Now, remember the 238 cities, towns, and regions that applied to be the site of Amazon's other headquarters? And now there are just 20 semifinalists. The big U.S. cities are on the list. Toronto is the one left standing outside the U.S. Newark, New Jersey, Columbus, Raleigh, Austin. Amazon is promising a finalist sometime this year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ebsen. The new EcoTank 4750 printer comes with up to 2 years of ink in the box for all your business printing needs. Cartridge-free printing with EcoTank. More information at Ebsen.com/EcoTank Marketplace.
My ability to say the following has been a long time in coming, a dozen years. The percentage of American homes in foreclosure is now the lowest since 2005, since before the mortgage crisis really kicked off. This according to a report this morning from Adam Data Solutions. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has our report on the fresh 2017 data.
Back when things were really bad, around 2010, the foreclosure rate was more than four times higher than it is today. Analyst Darren Bloomquist at Adam Data Solutions says conditions now look a lot like they did before the housing market crashed.
There were very few foreclosures because home prices were rising so rapidly that anybody who got into trouble was able to avoid foreclosure if they needed to by selling the property for more than they bought it for.
Bloomquist says foreclosures are low now because of tighter lending standards, rising home prices, and a good job market. Nevada still has one of the highest foreclosure rates in the country, but even there, things don't look as bad as they did after the recession, says Vivek Shah at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
There's no remnant of the financial crisis, I would say. Totally a different landscape right now, this construction going on.
Foreclosures actually rose last year in New York, New Jersey, and the District of Columbia, where courts are still clearing out a backlog of foreclosures from the housing crisis. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And we see that crude oil output in the U.S. could hit a record high any day now. Domestic production of oil, especially from shale, is about to cross above 10 million barrels a day. That would top a record set back in 1970. Oil imports are down by a fifth in the last decade. One byproduct of all the pumping, lots of extra natural gas. North Dakota has a limit on how much extra gas can be burned off, and this week producers were right near that limit. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.